Je ne pense que tu.
I wrote this like 4 years ago when I was doing my leaving cert, and I'd be in my room just doing anything but study. So kind of angsty and a bit naive, I suppose, but I have a chance to say it now, I suppose. Walking around my city and watching it decay. This shit is getting worse day by day. Scumbags are destroying lives in a city where addiction thrives. Where's our elected people when we need them? A government full of brown envelopes and dodgy dealings. They're meant to represent the people from the area. Just watch the empty promises spread like malaria, a disease of the state. But why do we just stand around and let it choose our fate? An addiction is rising, and in this economic crisis, families fall apart. There's too many problems and nowhere to start. Unemployment rates hit all-time high, and all people have left to do is get high. Drugs become their escape, and teens are left with no choice to make. Those robbing cars and dealing bags while the government just is guarding with rags. How can they sit idly by while suicide rates go sky high? Poverty-stricken people weep, they're selling stuff they can't afford to keep. And when gangland deaths become the norm, then it's time for a new government to form. Face our country's problems and take them on. This corrupt government's time is gone. Fuck them and all they've done, they value money second to none. Perhaps they are the real scum. Our country's wrecked. How do we let this happen? We're back to an 80s-style recession. The young are forced to emigrate as if this recession sealed their fate. Leave their country for work, that Celtic tiger died a horrible death. Now all that's left is the IMF and families in debt. The Celtic tiger hunted to extinction, thought the good times are fiction. Because the fact is the harsh reality, a government calamity or a crooked mentality. Who's to blame for this fucked up tragedy? The worst can only get better if a new government takes power. But will power govern them, will their corrupt ways soon be clear to see? Like those before them, as corrupt as can be. I guess we have to wait and see.
Not a nice one, Niall. Maybe you should take up another college course and you might get a few more poems out of it. Next up, we have Joan Ensco, please. Now, I'll call this one Confined to Trash. Rolling out the dustbin, the week's debris, it's heavy. Or is it my heart that says life has been gauged by the trundle of the bin's wheels, measuring out the weeks with a take of detritus, what's left of us? Another week has passed, we have lived and consumed. The refuse is proof of it. The boy with the yellow jacket runs and grabs it without a word. The bin placed on ledge is lifted up and tumbled in to join the trash in the large refuse van. I wish that I could gather up the flotsam of my mind, the idle thoughts, the fears, the doubts that clog my brain, that I could easily drop them into my waste bin and watch them bone away out my driveway. Will we like that be snatched so fast and placed in box and lift it up and tumble in, back to earth, dust to dust, and end up confined to trash as compass, like what was in our own dustbin? We surely will. And then I think again, rolling out the bin, with lid held down, sometimes it smells like refuse that's not put out by some lazy scout. Will we be left to sit and stagnate and even suffer pain, to wait for the week's bin day unknown? I think no more. Just do the job. It's a menial task, no more.
Thank you, Joan. And Joan is with a bit of a posse here, all the way up from Vermont. So fair play to you for coming up all the way. And next we have Issa Dempsey, another Vermont lady. Delighted to be here tonight.
I've heard so much about O'Vale always. So just delighted he came up. I hope you come down as a posse too. I told you I'm ready, Paul. We're ready for your invasion. The more he come, the better. Now, I wrote this after being in Saudi Arabia to visit my late daughter, who was nursing there. And one day we were out, and there was a tiny drop of rain. I thought a tiny kind of drop of rain. And she went running madly. I said, "Where are you running? What are you doing while you're running?" So she said, "Oh, the clothes, she said. They'd be all spots from the sand. The rain there was always full of sand." So she said, "I have to wash them again. That'll be terrible." So I call this the Arabian sojourn. A magical, mystical sort of place. Much intrigued there. Sand-filled raindrops and wind-filled sandstorms. Tea-towel covered heads. Long flowing white robes for males, abayas in black for women, truly second-class citizens, walking woefully behind their have-to-be husbands. No courting or walking out together. Wall-to-wall gold souks, amazing to behold. Alone, I entered Saudi, one of the first females to do so, visiting my nurse daughter. She used to say, "Riyadh is on a 500-mile beach to the sea. Completely flat, not a hill in sight." Rudy, my Filipino taxi man, was a treasure, ready and reliable to drive Miss Daisy, making her safe in a strange land. Chop Chop Square, where people lose their heads, no questions asked. Nearby, great bargains to be had in gold and all precious items. Life goes on after death, on those hot, dry, dusty days and Arabian nights. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And now we have Ben Kingston. This book is called Made with Lungs. White chocolate and creamy coffee, plastered walls with long-standing red brick, exposed, arched over like a plate of cafe lunch. Arched with a little hurt, arched and curvy spine, arched with a sense of longing, along the freely detached and nonchalant, old table, old red brick, and you, my dear old boy, we've had no time, but we are waiting. The moment will come, and when it happens, savour it, clasp it, smell it, breathe it, savour it again, because it will soon be gone. Woo! This one doesn't have that. Marriage as an act of two things finding a common cause, filled with cross-legged comfort, carrying sweet coffee, chair crossing over the crack in the floor, winding of dreams, passing into fantasy. I watch her recline, her servant tends the fire. She looks disinterested, she dares not look at youth again. Escaping anything with takes her away from her finger melting into the silk recliner, stuffed with cotton wool. I remain here. Here it goes until another day, until I find myself back in this cross-legged state. Irritatingly rings around my head all this early form self. Again, no title. In his dream, two sleeping kingdoms, each laid out in front of their high walls, their people in chance and slumber. Above the gates hangs a banner, each bearing crest, one of oak stake wrapped in blooded linen, the other of wrought-on Gnostic cross, covered in preciously with clear blue silk. as people sleep, horrific dreams of loss plague them. He reaches out to stir them, but unable to be woken, he sees inside their dreams, sharing the same monstrous creature. Its eyes are a human shape, but black as raven's down. Its body and head are human too, but his legs are and talons are of a sooty falcon. Mounted on his back is a pair of scaly wings, which he uses to swoop down and rip open the dreamer's heart, letting the wounds of their mourning freshen and bleed again.
Thank you, Ben. And just because we have a bit of a full open mic tonight, if we could keep it to maybe one or two short ones. Next up, Alma Kelly, please.
Hi there. This one, well, I haven't titled it, but I'll call it Yoni now, which is a Sanskrit word meaning vagina. Semi-autobiographical rants meant to puncture the meaning of me. Moreover, the pen plants seeds of Sisyphus, subterranean blues mixing colours with the sophistry of sky. The sun belly aches, stays under cover of cloud, as I remember to worship the Yoni, to revere what has for so long been consumed by scabbard and claw. This year the Yoni has come. Kali unlocks her jaw and drills her magnificence over the delinquent disrespect of a patriarchal system designed to deflect the glory of a cunt and its celebrants. My one-woman army bands itself to peace and love, to compassion and sanctuary. I love the Yoni. I am poised to peruse her lonely lairs, comfort her cares, and make love face to face in a sea of her own secretion. This year I will fathom the deep recesses of my source of life, past, present, and coming. I worship the Yoni.
You're at the center of the Yoniverse, Alma. Rock on. Next up, we have Simon Aronson.
Okay, we're short on time, so let's just go for five haikus written while in Daya. One wonderful summer staying in a flat. Here we go. Haiku interludes. My indignance paled, despite being the top floor. The bell was bottom. Social butterfly, steeped in pollen drawn from buds, sleeps in ignorance. On Spanish sinks, sea, caldo, against English sense, means hot, not cold. Poets paint word pictures, canvas fresh for every view, scenes that resonate, and the only thing to do with summer, tarnished silver clouds dissipated by the sun, released summer spray. Thank you.
Cheers, Simon. And next up, it's Max O'Shea. Good O'Shea.
I just wrote quicker this evening, so I'll give it for you. Okay, go home this evening. Filigree trees. There is Maltese jewellery to adorn the frosty sky on the crispy delphinium backdrop. It is draped. Its shoulders are the verdant hills and the earth's embrace with the clasped icy crab apple green like Canadian ice wine. And its horizon is sharply outlined. A black lace mantilla is snipped into shape by its birthseed. A shape so defined that I feel a suit of cards might be the template. Some are inverted hearts or a spade, some are elongated diamonds, and join me at the Iconic Club, the blacklist mantilla flotilla, a parade of sail on the rim of the sky, up over waterfall road arises, a spinnaker of Maltese filigree, woven black lace in silver.
Okay.
This little poem was the addendum to the last day, and it was a trip I took for my son on, and it was a little Christmas card for him, musical Christmas card for someone who'd been through a lot, but then it was a flip onto the dark side, of course. So this is called Heart of Auschwitz, but there's a poem called Polski Lloyd, Polski Skyride. An escape was planned to set the scene for the Christmas time of which we dreamed. To Krakow we went, my son and husband, an enchanted place of snow-capped land. We saw a moat, a Gorky Park, we descended down the Saltmine shaft, where in the Middle Ages grip they carved cathedrals and shining crypts. Fabulous castle's majestic tale spoke of Poland's kings and queens, crowned and interred. Choral festival sound, magical and unknown, were heavenly sung like Kyrillian bells. A sparkling market, a chimney cotton hall, there was Baltic amber and glowvine, barrel ball, and across from our Spartan economy bedroom, down its spot, the prima ballerina, Georgette's being groomed by Dinette de Valois, as she nightly rehearsed with her handsome lead man, the press and the cracker spirits, the steps first. And we marvelled in favour of the local food delicacy and thought of the fees of our youth fantasy. And then we wanted to go to the heart of Auschwitz, and there I just saw an image I don't think I'll forget it easily. Stark silver tree, what there did you see? You alone still stand in this arid Iceland. A horror business to supervise daily. A cruel, bitter sight of countless souls flailing. How guttural barks had snapped out their orders. Orders received to savagely order. What order is this? What vicious disorder? Frigid frostbitten feet, biting barbed wire borders. The desperate to last wait, in despair electrified. Brittle fragile bones to ensnare, frozen nerves to fry. Yet herein there is beauty, its unspeakable pain. In blocks 11 for correction, a young lieutenant's name will forever be etched on his prison cell. A vision appears sketched, Sacred Heart, a pleading well. A nail, a pin, what tool? Within, where hidden, how healed? Fingertips, Christ revealed. To gaze back, to cry for him, to protect health microcosm, to inhale, to endure, to enslave, to ensure. A safe passage to lead out, to make pure, he will shut out. To receive in his comfort, so true to a promise, a spirit escaped, victor lifted aloft us. A bleak silver tree, I'll get there, maybe there. Live life's testimony. Icicle-dipped branches look down to see, drawing sap from a lifeblood sea. And
thanks, Mags. And now we have a newcomer, John Hicks.
How's it going? I'll do two quick ones to save any stress. First one's called Bad Tribe. A ring of Kerry, a pocket full of tunes. An issue. Okay, this is a quick one. It's called Love. Yes, always and forever, but reality also. Yes, but not now. Yes, but not together. Like the sudden 60s parent, a decade into lotus eating self-righteousness, I say, I'm not responsible for your emotions. I poke and practice at them, I live and learn, I observe and deny any responsibility. Do not build me into your outlook, for I am leaving, always and forever, separate, thirsty, gone. But from one deep fish and deep water to another, I say, practice makes perfect.
Nice one, please come again. Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. Right, it's called Good Evening. Do sit down. I cannot find words or time to describe you.
Make yourself some tea. Sit down by the carriage. Traffic sings the hour. How well do I know you? Black law. I see the finer points refined to extinction. Beauty never lasts long enough to ever appreciate its vainglory. I love you so much it hurts. As you remain by the fire alone, I see the blood between us rise and overflow. Don't make a scene, just relax. Rest me a while. The winter sunset grapples for attention with the stars. Switch off the sun, let us rise to occasions where nothing is demanded. Thank you.
Cheers, Patricia, and now we have Charles Clark.
A word or two explanation. Alexander Pope of Cork was in fact the youngest member of the painting dynasty of about three generations, and the problem was could you tell any of their paintings from any of the others, you know what I mean, from the members. Anyway, Alexander Pope of Cork, painter and player, one of the Pope Stevenses and the Stevens Popes. His good looks, graceful actions, and melodious voice gave him a success on the London stage. His costume self, portrayed by Sharp and Gainsborough Duport. He married a rich wife, an Irishman's dream. Most hospitable of men, he gained renown as an epicure, a bon vivre. He is not forgotten in Garrick Club, and you know almost everything about him.
And let's just say, yeah, for everybody,
happy birthday, Charles!
He's a stalwart here. We love you. Happy birthday. Billy Ramsell!
I outsource all my memories to machines. Addresses, specifics. How long been the stuff of paper and pen? Numbers went then. The digits of colleagues and loves to a SIM card. Long division and arithmetic to the buttons of a calculator. All was subtraction. I delegated sat-navs to remember my way for me. Handsets to carry birthdays and tasks, deadlines, anniversaries. Next trivia. Dates and places evaporated became droplets of the cloud. As I downloaded app after app for remembering, for forgetting, I let the matching of names and faces to the I know make those awkward moments of parties a thing of the past. Swap pins for a fingerprint, transplanted recollection wholesale to a battery of servers, each disc abrim with biographies, humming with summers and Christmases. To liberate capacity, of course, brain space, cortical RAM. But more than this, just to do without what memory brings. It's mockery, the guilt, the crowd of dreams. And now thank Christ. Thank Christ I can remember nothing except for this. This day against the night. This precaution for sleeplessness I couldn't let go of. Ashling, I'm beside you in the high ceiling, the music room. I feel welcome here in your mother's house. I feel a welcome guest as I watch your apt hands. Disdainful. Aloof to themselves. To the keys. They send the mist of arpeggios through the cool and shaft-lit hallway to the lowest terrace of the garden, to the sun-lamped lawn where Saoirse pivots and slides as she rehearses at the steps to the riverbed. the apple trees acclaim her drowsy solo, speckle her with confetti. Her blonde form is taut and golden. She shapes a taut arc of unfolding. Stretches her arms sunward, turns on her toe tips. Good night.
Thank you, Billy. And now, Stanley Note.
Relax, please, relax.
Thanks for the very posh pronunciation of my surname. I haven't had like that for a long time. Okay, so just quickly, what I do is I take song titles from particular artists and I construct poems or pieces of writing from them. Tonight is the Fun Loving Criminals. I'm a bit like you, Linda. This kind of came from my brother actually knows Hugh Morgan, I think that's his name, the lead singer. And he suggested I do it, and the only thing I could think of is New York. The only thing I could associate the Fun Loving Criminals with. So this is what came out of the Fun Loving Criminals song titles. I love living in the city. She's my friend, my shining star, a classic, fantastic bear hug. I love living in the city, especially on Friday night, when everything is swashbuckling in Brooklyn and the Ballad of New York City is back on the block. Then the summer wind keeps on yelling, live, have, love. Living on the streets is the biz, and the view belongs to everyone. So, kill the bad guys, baby. Go get your coat and come find yourself where love is unlimited and we have all the time in the world, all life long.
Thank you, Stanley Note. And next we have Tara Nelbach.
It's good to feel that rain. When I am close to you, I feel like we are already touching. The air in between our bodies is so sweet. I want to touch your thoughts, the thoughts that round up my day, the feelings that make me want to fly. You are so happy when you have something beautiful and far-reaching to say. When I see you, to feel your presence near is like a summer rainstorm. Gentleness fills the air, treading softly by. A shock of electricity surrounds me when I see the treasure trove open wide, the pool of pleasure that is your eye. My heart soars at the thought of your smile, yet still I am afraid to open my heart fully, too shy inside to risk a love that would take us both the extra mile. Nothing stands between our unity, not friendship, because I want you as a whole, no misunderstanding that cannot be turned round. When you are happy to see me, dare I think that way, your face, your smile, rainbows in my belly, turn upside down, sometimes they spin around. I will one day discover if you share this love I have found. Thank you.
Next up, John McNally.
Designed obsolescence is a concept where your electrical device is degrading from the moment you turn them on. As if the resistors and chips have embodied the very curse of resources, an electrical arthritis dissolving silicon joints as those countries' democracies have been. Software is guilty too, exploiting the fault located between computer and chair. It's crashed again, hurtles through the air, and smashes off the wall. Them gnashing of teeth and pulling of hair, but it has succeeded, designed obsolescence. Succeeded as you order a new MacBook Air.
Yeah.
Ah, there, of course, please. Can you put things right?
Quad psychology. We get our hopes and fears from the parent of the same sex, and our way of dealing with the world from the parent of the opposite sex.
Right, then, I think I'm just going to leave now. Okay, Lucy Pasquale, wherever you are. It's your time to shine.
These things happen in fives. One. Friday evening, feet up, it's dusk. Word spill. The way a loom works is repetition. Down and up and in and around, weaving as a form of navigation. Two. This is how you complete the pattern. Tack your words neatly to your forearm. Cotton breathes better over supple, pristine flesh. Naked and infantile, the northern star abides and the desert wind calls. Cartography, make this state your own. Three. I'm a lover in the shape of a falling star, enamored in the Atlantic chill, enamorado, enamorata, in armor, armored, the battle cry sprung forth in the spring. Four, I know I was late, but I made it in time for this. Versing, like an exile, makes the virtuoso the heart. Even an empty vessel is by name a vessel, and language, in contrast, steeping and soggy, uncontained, black, tar river flow, this is a process. Five. Flypaper walls, I have four that act as a late night steam operated printing press. This room speaks in impressions. Impressionism. Step back. See.
Thank you, Lucy. And now, Philippe Deptula. I'm not sure I can read your...
Philip.
What's your surname?
Deptula.
My surname is actually very Polish, and it's like the oldest Polish name. It's not a ski, though. I'm sorry. It's probably easier that way. But I come from a very Polish part of America called Botany Village in New Jersey. And that's what I titled this. I was planted in the underground. Though I've yet to sprout and experience a solar rays kiss. My parents aren't from there. They escaped from behind an iron curtain that slowly transformed into rust before they were tangled and asphyxiated, as their parents were. And the underground holds an irresistible promise that only a few droplets of water can erect the greatest forest known to man. And it was this hope that brought them to the conclusion that their seeds could sprout of a great oak. The long past are the days where a flower only needed nature and persistence to sprout. Your failure is a tenuous string, and one cannot grow furtive of failure in the underground. And it is mine and my brother's duty now to resurrect from the dead. But Lazarus was even assisted by a grand man much greater than him. Even Hercules was left out of the gods. And like the thousands of the children from the underground, I am left dreaming, searching to root myself in the acrid land. Thank you.
Thanks, Philip. And last but not least, Cahill Holden.
I still have a new poem. It's very much a first draft. I haven't quite lost what it needs to yet. Here it is. They say Brahma made the yoni and the lingam. Yes, sir. But I have to find the rhythm first. They say Brahma made the yoni and the lingam. And between them they made the world. They say ice melted round the cosmic giant. They say that Yahweh breathed the word. but you will miss the point of mystery from always asking how, for something came from nothing, and it came from then to now, and there is wholeness in every schism, the fractured vision of the Lord, the spider's eyes that see the whys of every thread within the web that holds the hoard. So come see a disconnected trigger switch that's floating out in space. So come see a disconnected trigger switch that's floating out in space, and it's just trying to find a powder keg and make a circuit out of the trace, and take it dancing with the centerpiece, with the oracle divine, because she's shaking twitch to make the shift and stitch her wavelengths to your mind. Now it's a droplet with the galaxy suspended in its dome, and it's just phasing through realities and trying to find a home, because all these sim city simians seem simple and complete. Their simplicity is a symptom of their simulated streets. Now there's a peregrine with talons out and rabbits down below, and there were kids out fetching water when they got lit by the drone, and now we're in a Baghdad courtyard where the gentlemen play chess, cut and fade to Brooklyn sidewalk, hip-hop soundtrack, evening dress, and yes, the goddess is among us, and the record starts to spin in the RPM of Saturn with a needle on the rim, and now he's writing on the bedsheets when he'll whisper in her ear, because the bliss in this existence is how it all just disappears. And now we're snugly nestled in the Buddha's frontal lobes, thrumming the essence of the radiance of Om, as the current pulls us deeper, sparkle tingle on the tongue, a transcendental prism held against the silver setting sun, and there is Shiva on a stairwell with a chilling on a cross. Sometimes he prays to Christian angels because it's Vishnu's Krishna's tend the flock, and they shake hands on Montana, always stolen, never bought, and they sneak into the station in graffiti trains of thoughts, and they never buy a ticket, and they always travel free. If you look close between the couplings, maybe God is what you'll see. As she hovers over cities, sees them sparkling below, she's reflected in the tide waves and sees the seeds the sea will sow. And the pool comes from the goddess, who is known by many names, and she is kneeling in her garden where she's nurturing a flame, which she waters with devotion, and she nurses with her light, where someday his dance will burn the oceans and usher in the cosmic night. And they encircle every circle, and they encompass every sphere, the bliss in this existence is how it all just disappears.